Would open up your Bibles to the Gospel of John, John chapter 15. And I want to look at something tonight I think will be a blessing to us. I think it'll be an encouragement to us. As I was praying, I was thinking about, you know, the Bible says that you and I, that we are in Christ, we have an elder brother. You know, what is it? Romans 8 says that he's the firstborn among many brethren. So you've got an elder brother. I've got an elder brother. And then we tie that with Proverbs 18:24, I believe it is, that we've got a friend in Jesus that sticks closer than a brother. And you know, Jesus calls us many things. He calls us his friends. You know, if we're not careful, we throw that term around a lot. You hear a lot of people say, this is my friend, that's my friend. I don't know about you, but I've had very few friends in my lifetime. Now, I've got a lot of acquaintances, but a friend is something special. And so you're special to the Lord tonight. Amen. He called you his friend. And so we're going to be talking about some things tonight. We're going to look at 9 sets of scriptures quickly, just to build your faith and loose my faith in the reality that you and I, we don't have to go somewhere to find joy. We don't have to go somewhere to find the presence of the Lord. We don't have to go somewhere to find anything because Jesus lives in you. Amen. So we're going to look at these verses of scripture here in John chapter 15 that will just build that truth, that reality in our life. And then we're going to look at the writings of Paul. And Paul, he spent his entire time wanting you and I to understand how close Jesus was. You know, thank God he's on the throne, but aren't you glad that throne is on your heart? My heart, amen? All right, so let's look at these first 7 verses in John chapter 15, and we'll read them and just let them get down in your heart. And I want you to make a mental note of how many times the word in, I-N, is used. Now, in English, it's I-N. In Greek, it's E-N. But in Greek, it's very, you and I, we can be in and out of happiness, joyness, or whatever. But in Greek, this word is a fixed position. In other words, it don't matter what you feel like, by faith, you're in Jesus. Jesus is in you, and it's there. If you're blood washed, then it's fixed. It cannot be changed unless you renounce it, unless I renounce it. So Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, he cleanses it, he prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, right now at this moment, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now notice what he says, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, Jesus is the word, so talking about him abiding in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we ask for just the unction of the Spirit of God. Let your word that is anointed come into our hearts that are anointed right now by your presence. Help us hide this word in our heart and help us move in the liberty and the freedom that you have for us. Let us see exactly this intimacy, this closeness that we have in you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, glory. So I want you to just to consider that word, like I said, the Greek word in, and it's a fixed position. And so because you heard the knock on your heart's door and you called upon the name of the Lord and you found salvation, Jesus, he went by his spirit and he put you in his body and then he come inside of your heart. So we've got like that old song that I love. We got Jesus on the inside, but we got Jesus on the outside. So you can never be alone. Now, why are we talking about this? Because there is a great move of the enemy to bring discouragement upon the body of Christ, to bring discouragement upon this part of the body, especially in different ways. And he's trying to lie to you and I in different ways. And so I feel a real strong tug on my heart. I know Donna does as well when we pray for each one of you. And I want you and I to be in the place and the position that when those lies come, that they just roll off of us like water off a duck's back, because we know the truth. See, the devil can't trick you and I if we know the truth. Amen. The only way he can get into my life is if I'm ignorant of his. And when I say ignorant, I simply don't know. I don't know about you. I don't know all of this that I want to know. But I'm knowing it more and more because he's my teacher. He's my guide. And the Bible says that you have an anointing. You have a holy anointing from God to teach you all things. Aren't you glad of that? You don't have to be without. So let's look at this tonight. Let's let it build us up. Now, notice what he said there. He said in verse 4, he said, simply abide in me. And he said, if you'll abide in me, I'll abide in you. Now, this word abide, it's that word that we've talked about many times. It's meno. It means to stay in the place of expectancy. It means to stay in the place of life. It means to have a residence. So, in other words, everything about your life, you tell the devil, hey, I'm residing, I'm living, I am sourced from Jesus. I'm living from Him. I'm living in Him. And because I've chose to live in Him, He said, I'm going to come and make my abode, my residency in you. Now, if we're not careful, we miss that. We'll let that go right over the top of our head. Because Jesus is saying, because you've chose to allow your life source to be in and from me, then I've chose to live in and from you. That means everybody that is out in the world today that doesn't know who you know, doesn't know the Savior as you know Him, they can see Him in part through the light that's shining through you. In other words, Jesus said, I'm going to reveal myself to a lost and dying world through my church, through my body. And so we see how exciting that is to know that I can live in and from Jesus. But then all of a sudden, He trusts me. He trusts you to live in and through you to a world that is hungry. They don't know what they're hungry for. They don't know what they're thirsty for. They don't know what they're missing, but they know that they're missing something. Amen. And so tonight, I want you to be in that place, in that position where you just have an anticipation that Jesus is going to come in and through your life like never before. Amen. So let's look at some things that will help us. Hold your place here. We may come back. Let's go to the book of Galatians. Now, we're going to hit this several times. So go ahead and just mark it with your ribbon in Galatians chapter 4 for right now. And I want us to see something that the Apostle Paul, he's dealing with those at Galatia, and he's having a problem with them because of Judaizers have come back into the church and tried to get them back into the law and all of these things, and has brought confusion to them. And you know, if you listen to many church services on television, you can see they've drifted so far away from grace. You know, it's so crazy how the world church is becoming so prominent. I used to read the book of Revelation and I'd look at that world church and I thought, how can they do that when you and I have the Spirit of God, when we have Jesus? But we're seeing more and more of the church has left off Jesus. They've left off the world, and they've what? They've took on a doctrine, traditions of men and all this stuff. So we see it coming to pass. But so Paul here, he brings this truth to him. Look at chapter 4, Galatians chapter 4. Anybody know how to run the PowerPoint part? Anybody? Well, you'll have to look it up on your phone or look it up in your Bible. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Notice what Paul says. He says, my little children. Oh, I love this, because how many times do you think that somebody's mad at you? You realize that even when we do something wrong, that Jesus is not mad at you? Jesus loves you. And so Jesus is bringing this word by His Spirit through His vessel, through His minister, through Paul. And see the tenderness here. This sounds like John the Beloved. But he says, my little children. This is the only place in the New Testament that this Greek word is used. And what he's saying is, he's saying, my little Christian converts, you're darling to my heart. Come on, you're darling to my heart. Paul says that you mean more to me than you can ever know. Now, you know, parents, we love our children more than they love us. Paul here, he's their spiritual father through Jesus. And he loves them. And he loves them so much. And he puts this term of endearment out there. He says, even though you can't speak right now, because that's what it means. It means an infant that can't speak, but it's an infant that is so darling to the Father's heart, to Jesus, but to Paul. I want you to know you're darling to my heart. Amen. Every one of you, I love you, and I'm proud of you. And I'm excited about what God's going to do, because I know that you're going to yield to the Lord. Amen. You're going to serve Him with all your heart. But He says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again. Now notice what He says, until Christ be formed in you. So we know that when we get born again, that the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. And we, as we talked about this morning, the Godhead comes to live inside of us. But guess what? The formation of Jesus, in other words, the picture of Jesus is to come out of my life. It's not as good as it's going to be tomorrow. Thank God it's perfect today. But it's going to look more like Jesus tomorrow. In other words, Paul is saying, because you have, he's talking to this group here who have pulled away and they've got back under the law. He says, we need to do some work. We need to bring that grace back to the forefront of your mind, because he said, your testimony, your witness is not showing the image of Jesus like it could, like it should. But I want you to know that when you're willing to put your blood, sweat, and tears and your prayers into the work of the Lord in and through this church, guess what? You're showing this community, hey, I love Jesus. And not only do I love Jesus, but I love you. Amen. It's not just about who's inside this building. It's about who God is wanting to call and put in the body. Amen. So that's what we want. We want to be in that place where we let the image of Christ be formed in us. Now, I don't know about you, but that just boggles my mind just a little bit, that the Holy Spirit is, you know, remember what we read in John 15:3? Jesus said, now ye are clean, you're pruned through the word which I spoke to you. In other words, the word that Jesus has spoke to me, I'm clean right now. But I've got to hear a word tomorrow. Come on, moment. As I hear the word, he continually cleanses me, prunes me, purges me, and he's being formed in my life. In other words, every time I hear a word, Jesus is that word, I look more like him. And so that's what the Apostle Paul is doing here. And so I want you to know, and I want you to tell the devil, I want you to bring this flesh under subjection and let it know that you know by the Holy Spirit in your spirit who you are. You're a child of God. Amen. You've got a destiny. You've got a future. There is something that God's calling you to do. Now, as we read these verses of Scripture, I mean, and hold your place here and we'll come back. But I want you to see some truth. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And let's see what the Apostle Paul, we've preached on this many times, but I want you to see what the Apostle Paul says here. See, just because God says something about us, if we're not careful, we can let it lay dormant. We can hear it and we can mentally ascend to it. In other words, I can go in my mind and I go, I know that's true, but that is ascending to it by my mind and not believing in my heart with faith. And see, the way the word produces, I've got to have a faith to it. And when I mix my faith, see, the book of Hebrews talks about the children of Israel. They heard the word, but they didn't mix their faith with it. And the Bible said it did not profit them. So it doesn't matter how much Bible I know, how much Bible am I mixing my faith with, and then it'll profit. Amen. So here's what we've got to do. Look what he says. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's look at verse number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5. He says, examine yourself. Boy, that takes a lot of pressure off. I don't have to worry about my brother or my sister, do I? I need to what? I need to examine myself. You know how much time is wasted on wondering why somebody's done something or hadn't done something? Unless the Lord's wanting us to pray for them, or unless the Lord is wanting to give us a word to give to them, I need to what? I need to be looking at my own mirror. Amen? Examine yourselves. In other words, discipline myself, test myself by the word of God, whether you be in the faith. Now, if I'm in Jesus, I'm in the faith, because Jesus, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Jesus is the word, right? So examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Now, notice what he said. He said, prove your own self. This is a different word. Test your own self and know your own selves, You've got to know it. How that Jesus Christ, mark it down in your Bible app, in your Bible, how Jesus Christ is in you, except or unless you're a reprobate. Well, you're not a reprobate. Come on, you're here on a Sunday evening because you want to be. Amen? So you're not a reprobate. So you need to know that Jesus is in you. Jesus is living in you. So when sadness comes, when discouragement comes, when fear tries to grab a hold of you, and all of a sudden you've got to say, wait a minute, this is on the outside of me, and it's trying to get on the inside of me. But wait a minute, the greater one is in me. Jesus is in me. So the one who, Jesus said, I am what? The truth, John 14:6. So the one who is all truth, he lives in me. So here comes the lie. Here comes the darkness. Here comes the cloud. So what do I got to do? I got to let Jesus work on the inside of me, or he can come out on the outside of me. Amen. I can let him form the truth. And then all of a sudden, when he forms the truth on the inside of me, I'll start saying what Jesus says. And when I start saying what Jesus says, my life changes directions. It doesn't go the way the devil wants it to, but it goes the way the Lord would have me to. I need that, don't you? I need his direction. So he said, you need to know ye not yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you. Because if you notice, when the sadness comes, when the fear comes, when the confusion or the anger, whatever it might be, all of these different emotions, when they come, we lose our position. Because, see, all of a sudden, well, it feels like to me, my grandpa had these big tires that they took off the skidder, and we had so much fun because me and my cousin would get in this tire, and they'd roll that tire, you know, and you'd be in there, and as long as it didn't go too fast, you had a lot of fun. But if it got to going too fast, you was out of control. But when you was in that tar and then you come out of that, all of a sudden you're disoriented. Come on, it's like rolling down a hill. Remember how kids love to roll down a hill? When you start to stand up, you're disoriented. You don't know where you're at. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to get you and I in a place, in a position that we don't know who we are. We don't know who we serve. We don't know who is for us. The Bible said, if God be for us, not one person. I don't care how big they are. I don't care how rich they are. I don't care how much influence they are. They're not bigger than your Lord and Savior. Amen. And God is for you tonight. Come on, he is, because he saved you. So I've got to come back and I've got to remind myself, I'm in Jesus. Jesus is in me. That's the position. See, Jesus has taken us all the way back to the garden, and I don't have time to get into it. But when he says, I'm the vine and you're the branches, he's reminding us of the relationship of Adam and Eve and the tree of life in the garden. We're going to have that restored in the book of Revelation. And we're going to be a partake of that fruit, and we're going to what? We're going to live forever. Every tear is going to be wiped away. Life is going to be the way that God designated it right from the beginning. It's ours. The devil can't stop it. We're going to hold on to the Lord. Okay, so he said, know yourself. So you've got to be in that place where you remind yourself what the Bible says about you. Don't let anybody change. You hold on. You say, wait a minute, this is what the Bible says about me. And the Bible can't lie, amen? And so I'm going to hold on to that. So let's see some things that we've got to battle until we can hold on to this truth. Go with me to Romans chapter 8, one of our favorite chapters in the whole Bible. But for sake of time, let's just read two or three verses here. Now, look what he says in verse number 8. He says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We know that. But he says in verse number 9, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell where? Come on, the Holy Spirit. Think about it. The Spirit of God that in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, moves across the deep, takes the words of the Father, which is Jesus, and he says, let there be light. And there's light. Light is still expanding and growing right now because God said what Jesus, he spoke out Jesus, and the Holy Spirit took Jesus and what? Took it across the whole universe. So you're not what? You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell, there's that word, meno, live. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Now I want you to think about this. The Holy Spirit has a personality though God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they're all three in one, but they have different personalities. They express themselves differently. And so the Holy Spirit wants to take the revelation of God the Father, God the Son, and express it through you to this world. Come on, the world doesn't understand the Old Testament. They think that God is a mean tyrant and all he wanted to do was kill everybody. Come on, they do. They say, I don't want anything to do with the God of the Old Testament. I want the God of the New Testament. Well, the God of the New Testament is the God of grace that shows us and makes us understand the types for teaching the shadows of the Old Testament. God hadn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's just that what? There hasn't been a revelation. There hasn't been a formation for people to grab a hold of. And so God wants you and I to be that part. And we need to tell the devil, listen, the greater one's in me. I'm not listening to you. Flesh, you calm down because I'm not in the flesh. I am in the Spirit and the Spirit is in me. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell, and he does, he lives in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. Now, you know that you've got the Spirit because the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. Verse 10, and if Christ, mark it down in your Bible out, and if Christ be in you, that fixed position, and if Christ be in you, the body is what? Because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. See how the devil, he comes and he points out things of your past. He pricks the things of this old dead nature, this old man, this old way of living and thinking, old way of talking and acting, and he tries to raise it up. See, there's going to be a false resurrection in the book of Revelation. Remember, there's going to be an image that's going to have a deadly wound. It's going to try to imitate what Jesus done, and it's going to come back to life, but it's not really life because the devil can't give life. But that's what he tries to do to your flesh and my flesh, to our old man. He tries to bring it back to life. But you and I, we've got to see that, no, I am dead because of sin, but I'm alive now because of the grace of God, and the grace of God put the Holy Spirit in me. Jesus lives in me. I'm not going to be sad. I'm not going to be deterred. I'm not going to look to the left or the right. I'm going to look to the one who is leading me straight. Amen? Jesus said, I could walk the straight and narrow path. And it would lead unto what? Life. We know where we're going. Amen? And we've got a clear guide. Jesus is our banner. He's our Jehovah Nissi. The banner over you and I is the love of God. Amen. It's shining out to a whole world that we're a people of love. We're not a people of hate. We serve a God that can what? Can pull us out of death and put us into life. But notice this now. You've got to tell the devil, and if Christ be in me, I know Christ is in me. So every time the devil starts all of these emotions, and these struggles, these things that come against you on the outside by the omen, you just tell the devil, Christ is in me. Jesus is in me. I know who I am. I know who I'm serving. I know where I'm going. Amen. All right. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians. We were in chapter 13. Let's go to chapter 4. Let's look at what Paul says, because you are going through some things. Every one of you, you're going through trials and struggles and tribulations. And I want you to see that the more the devil comes against you, the stronger you really are, because you're in Christ and Christ is in you. Amen. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's look at what Paul is dealing with, starting about verse number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 5. Are you there? For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So Paul says the only message that you and I are to preach is just the message of Jesus and the message of the cross. But look what he said. For God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath, past tense, hath shined where? In our hearts. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So I've got to see that inside of me is the light of the Lord. The light of the Lord is Jesus. Jesus said, John 9:5, I am the light of the world. Okay, so Jesus is inside of me. He's inside of you. And his face is shining upon us. Now, what was the greatest prayer that you could have prayed over you under the Aaronic covenant in the Old Testament? That the face of the Lord shine upon you. Because when God's face is shining upon you, it means that you have His full favor. Come on, you got to tell the devil, devil, you shut up. I've got the full favor of the Lord. His face is shining upon me. I'm looking into the light, and as I look into the light, I'm being changed from glory to glory to glory. Christ is in me, I'm in Him. Amen? Now look what Paul says, what happens. Verse number 7. But we have this treasure. We have this treasure. What's the treasure? Jesus. We have Jesus in these earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may not be it's not of us, but it may be of God. Think about this, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not us. So the power to save you, you couldn't save yourself. I couldn't save myself. The power to keep you, the power to keep myself, it's not of us, it's of God. So if God saved you, He made a promise and He said, if I'll save you, I will keep you. And if I start a work in you, I will finish it. Amen? So you got to be in that place. I've got to be in that place where I say, okay, there is a treasure inside of me. Why does the devil try to kill you? Why does he want to stop you? Why does he make your body hurt? Why does he make your mind tired? Because there is a light in you. The face of Jesus is shining out of you. You've got something to do that nobody else can do. And He wants to wear you out. He wants to wear me out. But we've got to come back and we've got to say, wait a minute. I've got a source of power inside of me that is greater than every trouble, every tribulation, every struggle that I'm going to encounter. The greater one is in me. Amen? Now, notice Paul tells us this. Let's just read a little bit of it so we can see that Paul went through things and you're going to go through things. Verse 8. We are troubled part of the time. We are troubled on every side. Come on, the devil hates you. And because this world is the devil's, this world hates you. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. But guess what? This world doesn't affirm you. Jesus does. Amen? So Paul says, we're troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. When you need to know these verses where you can tell the devil and you can put down these feelings. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Look at this, verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Manifest. This word means to render apparent. In other words, God wants to use you to where somebody can see Jesus in your life and it's so clear that there's no lie in hell, there's no demon that can stop that truth from being revealed. Glory. Of course the devil's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to limit you. But you've got to hold on to this. Verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death. Why? For Jesus' sake. Now let's think about that. Hebrews 2:14 says that Satan is death. So you're going to always meet death because you're the one that's holding life. Jesus said, I am that life, right? John 14:6. So Jesus is in you. The life of God is in you. And so that means that you're going to always encounter death. You're going to be standing between somebody and Satan. Somebody and the devil. Somebody and one of his imps. Amen. You're going to encounter death. Always you're going to be delivered to that. But you're going to be delivered what? To overcome it. To be Jesus' answer in the earth. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. In other words, you can reveal this truth through your flesh. So the devil's going to come. He's going to tell you, oh, I don't feel like calling that person. I don't feel like getting up and praying. I don't feel like witnessing. I don't feel like going to church. Well, we never feel like it, but we know what's right in here. So we say, now, wait a minute, body, you're not dominating me because you no longer control me. The greater one lives in me, and so I'm going to let him embolden me. I'm going to let him give me the truth. I'm going to move from limitation to a place of great providence, a place of great liberty. Come on, liberty, not limitation. Hallelujah. That's ours. And so we've got to be in this place where we let all of this truth just motivate us and guide us. Because if we'll let this word guide us, it'll change everything. Amen. Okay, well, you're holding your place in Galatians. Go to chapter 1 this time. We're over halfway done. Just bear with me. Galatians chapter 1. Look at what Paul says in verse 15. Galatians 1:15. But when it pleased God. I want you to know tonight, because you're born again, you're blood bought, blood washed, you're a child of God, it's because you pleased God. It pleased God when He knocked on your heart and you said, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. It was His plan from the foundation of the world. Amen. Paul said, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. Come on. That word means that you've been called out of the world. You've been appointed and anointed by the grace of God to be a father figure to a lost world, like your father is a figure, your godly father, your heavenly father is a figure to you. Is that not amazing? And it's all by grace. That means you didn't have to do it yourself, and you won't have to fulfill it or complete it yourself. God will make it possible. Amen? Now notice, this is where it gets so exciting. Why have you been called tonight? Why have I been called tonight? Verse 16, to reveal His Son. Where? In you, in me. Isn't this amazing? You've been called to reveal Jesus. This word, this is the same Greek word, apokluto, that where we get the name of the book of Revelation. It means to unveil. It means to take the cover off. Paul said, because you've been called by grace like Him, we've been called by grace just like Him, to reveal, take the cover off of Jesus. Oh my goodness. Now, Donna had somebody, had about three people write down something on a piece of paper, didn't you? You didn't? Okay. Never mind. Anyway, the point was, I was going to have three people write down on a piece of paper what the Bible means to them. What the Bible means to you. And so the reason why I want you to write it down, because if I had somebody say it out, somebody said something similar to what you said, I was afraid you wouldn't say it. But I just want you to say, okay, just you got it? What? Write it, read it. Okay, so here what the Bible means to two of them is life. What it means to Brother Donnie is love. What just happened? You reveal to me what the Bible means to you. And the Bible is Jesus, the Word. So you just showed me what Jesus means. Oh, come on now. What are we saying? Some people don't have a Bible. Some people have never read the Bible. Some people have read it and they don't understand it. But you told me in simple terms what the Bible means. I'm lost. I'm undone. I'm out in a lost, dark world. And you told me all of a sudden that the Bible means love. That the Bible means life. I don't know about you, but my whole life I've looked for true life. My whole life I've looked for true love. You just told me I could find it here. See, you reveal, because there's a natural anointing, a natural call in your life by the grace of God, who God is and what He is. Isn't that exciting? So just think about what we just said, and let's reread this. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, He took you out of the flesh. You're no longer controlled and dominated by the flesh. You're controlled because you choose to follow the Holy Spirit. He doesn't dominate you. He doesn't make you do anything, but He shows you what you can do. Amen? But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him. This word preach, evangeluo, is where we get our English word evangelist. Every one of us is an evangelist. See, what you don't understand, see, what is it? When we say Bible, what does Bible mean? Bible means little books. See, this is not one book. This is 66 books. But when it's wrote on the table of your heart, it becomes 67, 68. See, understand what I'm saying? The Bible in every believer's heart is another truth that I can read and I can see and understand Jesus like you do. I can see a picture of him. I can see a word from him that I would have never saw. That's why some people will listen to you witness and testify, and some people won't listen to somebody else. When we're out there giving out food and you start to talk to someone, it's real clear. You can feel. Sometimes I can talk to someone, and then sometimes I just step away and let whoever else is there talk to them, because why? There's something there that they can agree with, that they can hear from, and I don't want to be in the way. Amen? Everybody can't hear from everybody. But see, tonight you've got a revelation of what the Bible is to you, and God wants to use you to reveal it to the world. Christ is in you. Don't let anything stop what God's called you to do and be. Amen? Oh, glory. All right. We're right here in chapter 1. Look at chapter 2. You know this verse. We just preached on it. But look at chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am, present tense, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Well, you know, that's an oxymoron statement, isn't it? He said, I'm dead, but I'm alive. What did Jesus say? That if I try to find my life, I'll lose it. But if I lose my life for his sake, I'll truly find it. Amen? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Notice what he says, yet not I, but Christ lives where? But Christ lives in me. Jesus is alive in you and me tonight because of the cross. And don't you love it? The instrument of death is God's version of life. Your father is so much smarter than the devil. The Bible said if the devil understood what was going to happen, he would not have crucified the King of Glory. I mean, God tricked him. He took and he killed Jesus. And when he killed Jesus, he brought life to all of us. That's how smart your father is. Don't worry. Don't be sad. Don't be discouraged about any one thing, because your father, he's got the end figured out all the way from the beginning. Amen? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Notice this, and the life which I now live in the flesh, come on, we're in the flesh. See, you have to be in the flesh to be in this earth age. Our spirit contacts God. Our soul contacts one another, but we have to have a flesh body to be alive and to operate in this earth age. Which I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So, God loved me. God loved you. And he loved us so much that he demonstrated, Romans 5:8, that love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But I've got to live in the reality that now I am, you are, the temple of the Holy Spirit. See, that emboldens you, that empowers you. And when the external starts trying to get on the inside of you, you say, no, wait a minute. Sadness has to bow to the foot of Jesus. Lies has to bow to the foot of Jesus. Discouragement has to bow to the foot of Jesus. All of these things that tries to come against you, you've got the greater one in you. I've got the greater one in me, and we're going to walk in victory. Amen? I believe that, don't you? All right, turn over to the book of Colossians. Just a couple more, and I want you just to get this in your heart. Look what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1. Look at starting in verse 26. Colossians 1:26. The book of Colossians 1:26. It says, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest. There, the cover has been taken off. Clearly shined to his saints, to those who are sanctified by Jesus. Verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, what's this mystery? What's these great riches that we need to know? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. Now, I want us to understand this, because I've made this statement when I was a young Christian, and I've heard other people make this statement. It would have been so great to walk with Jesus when he walked the earth. See, I didn't know because I wasn't, I didn't have the knowledge about that. I was ignorant of the truth. Jesus is closer to you now than he was ever closer to Peter, James, and John. Now, Peter, James, and John, they were the closest to him on earth. But he lives in you. The Bible says he knows every word in your tongue before you speak it. Now, I want you to think about that. Doesn't that encourage you so much? Sometimes there's not good words in my tongue. And if Jesus wanted to, he could block that part off. Now listen by the Spirit. There's some people that's done some things, and you say, well, I'm just going to cut them off. But see, Jesus knows every word that's in my tongue. Even though it may not be acceptable to him, he doesn't cut me off. He wants to know those words because he wants to draw nigh unto me and help me look, feel, and be more like him. If I cut myself off from somebody, if you cut yourself off from somebody, we can't be used by the Lord to change them. When someone's struggling, you and I need to draw closer to them than ever before. Amen? You remember this morning we were talking about how Jesus, his heel was bruised for us so he could crush the head of the serpent? You do know that he could crush the serpent's head without being bruised, don't you? But he chose to be bruised for my iniquities. Isaiah 53:5, he was bruised for my iniquities. That's the kind of God we serve. What I'm telling you, don't let the devil make you pull away from the Lord in any way. He knows everything about us. He knows we're not perfect. But the perfect one lives in us to help us be more like him. Amen? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 28, whom we preach, whom we evangelize, whom we announce the good news, warning every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, and teaching every man, woman, boy, and girl in all wisdom, that we may present every man, woman, boy, and girl perfect, complete in Christ Jesus. Oh, glory. God says that we're valuable enough, worthy enough to minister to his very own. Isn't that encouraging? All right. In closing, turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, look at chapter 1. Look at starting in verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10, talking about Jesus. It says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Have you thought about that? That the Bible says that you are the glory of the Lord? You! Oh my goodness. You're called the glory of the Lord. Think about when Jesus walked, if he had showed his full glory, people would have fell dead. When Jesus just spoke and they come there in the garden and they said, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus. What happened? They fell to the ground. They could not stand when he told who he was. That was his glory, but he says that you are his glory. Now you know why the devil hates you so much and he tries to hold you back, amen? And when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, why? Because our testimony among you was believed. Your good news. Your life, the formation of Christ in you. Verse 11, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling to fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith, the work of faith with power. Now look what happens. I wish we had time. I can't get on that or I would love to get on that. Verse 12, that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified. Mark it down in your Bible app, in your Bible, that the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. So the way that God sees it and the way that God speaks it out, you are Christ's glory. But that doesn't mean that Christ will be glorified in you. Because see, sometimes I choose to listen to the devil, to the flesh, instead of listen to the Lord. So when I listen to something other than God's word, I'm not bringing God glory. I'm bringing... So I need to learn from that. I need to repent of that. And I need to let this power of faith be released in my life to do what God said it would do. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. Now notice this. And ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus is in me, I'm in him. He said that I could bring him glory, but he also said that us in him would be the glory that would change everything. It'll change perspectives, mindsets. It'll change understandings. And it's going to happen at the sounding of that last trumpet, but he wants us to let it happen right now. Because I need to tell the devil, when the devil tells you something, you say, nuh-uh, out of the mouth of my Lord and Savior, now I am clean through the word which he's spoken to me. Don't let him tell you who you are. The devil can't name you. He can't label you. God said, what I call holy, let no man what? Call unholy. What I call clean, let no man call unclean. Come on, you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And so the devil will get you and I on guilt trips. He'll get us under condemnation, but we've got to stand strong in who we know that we are in him. Amen. I want to close with this thought. There was this man, he was raised his whole life. His family, they had a curse of addiction on their life of alcoholism. And so from the time he was born, his mama was an alcoholic when he was born. And so he was born in abject poverty. He was born with a name on him. When people talked about that family, they had something negative to say. They had something discouraging to say. Come on, we've all seen people do this. We know that it happens. But he was born and he was raised that way. But then all of a sudden, he turned 18 years of age. And he would look at what was happening in his family, and he would look at how the flesh was pulling on him, and how when he would start to turn up that bottle, that he would realize, I don't have to do that. When he would start to turn up that bottle, he'd feel a power come on him, and that power said, you don't have to put that to your lips. I'm going to show you how to avoid that if you'll choose me. And he didn't know that the Spirit of God was revealing Jesus to him. He had no idea about the Bible. He had no idea about church. And so he encountered this man, and this man led him to Jesus, and he got born again. And when he got born again, the Lord said, my plan for you from birth was to preach my gospel. And he said, because you've accepted my grace, he said, I'm going to show you things that are going to make you believe that all things are possible, even to the ones who have been hurt the most. And he said, I'm going to show you how to save your own family. Come on, it's the hardest thing in the world to witness to a family. We all know. I mean, unless God gives you a special anointing or call, most of the time they won't listen to us. But in this situation, this man's name's Mike, and he called him, and he gave him an ability to reach his family. And he started, one by one, he started seeing his family get saved, and they got delivered from alcoholism, and that curse was broke off their life. His uncle died, and he went back to his hometown to the funeral. And he hadn't seen most of the people in this hometown since he had been saved and born again at the age 18. We're talking about this is 20-something years later. And so he spoke at his uncle's funeral and stuff. And everybody that's in this facility, they're in awe because they're still thinking about how Mike used to be and what he used to do and all of those things. And so, I mean, as soon as the memorial service was over, this one lady ran up to him. She said, I can't believe you, Mike. said, you don't talk the same. You don't act the same. What in the world happened? And he said, I met a Jesus that didn't care what I had done, but told me what I could do. And so he went back, and now he touched his whole town. Because what? Because of the past that the devil said was there to destroy him. Jesus said, I'm going to use it not for destruction, but for salvation, for deliverance. See, everything that the devil says is something that's going to destroy us, God can turn it into a deliverance because Jesus is the deliverer. Amen? Now, I want you to know tonight that the things in your past and my past that the devil tries to work into our minds and tries to hold us back and try to put us in a place of limitation, we got to say, no, I've got the Spirit of God. And 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen? You and I, we don't have to believe a lie. We don't have to be controlled by any emotion that's not sanctified because Jesus is in us. Amen? Now here, I want you to know this, and I want you to hear it and receive it. Now, some of you are going to have to sit it on a shelf and just let it sit there. But when the time is right, the Holy Spirit will take that off the shelf and He'll deposit it in your heart and it'll come out with words and actions. But some of you can hear it right now. I want you to know that inside of you, there is such a power of hope and glory that when you're ministering to somebody, whether you just open the door for them, whether we give them a box of food, whether we pray with them, whatever it might be, however God makes a connection, whether it's on the telephone or whether you, I believe that some of you are going to go to some people in the nighttime, you're going to be translated to them and you're going to be able to stand in the gap. I see it happening more and more, just a need that you can't meet physically, but you're going to meet it spiritually. Amen. But here's what's going to happen. You're going to start having an anticipation. When you see a person, you're going to see what the devil has done, and then the glory of God is going to show you what God has for them. And you're going to have such an anticipation, such a confidence in your God that you're going to open up your hands. Everybody open up your hands. Do you feel that right? There is an anointing right now. In the name of Jesus, there's an anointing in your hands. It's just waiting to flow. And when you touch them, you may touch them physically, you may touch them spiritually. I don't know how it's going to be. But when you touch them, it's going to flow out of your hands and it's going to make a connection. Amen? Because Christ in you, the hope of glory, is going to come out. But I want you to, if you say, I can't believe for that, just set it on the shelf because it's going to happen. I promise you it's going to happen. We're going to see things. You're going to have a word for somebody that they're going to be so bound up. They're going to be in such darkness about that when you give them that word, they're going to know that there's a God. Because there's something there that nobody else knows, just them and what they're dealing with, what they're struggling in. And you're going to give them that word in love and they're going to grow up into Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your goodness, your kindness, your grace, and your mercy. I thank you for what you're doing within this body. I thank you that you've allowed us to be a part of these last days. I thank you that you have entrusted us with the revelation of your Son. And I thank you that the battle that we have been dealing with, that we have been struggling with, that we have gave it to you, the battle is yours, Lord. It's yours. And you're showing us how to walk in a new level of obedience, a new level of victory for your glory, Lord. And all of these things is going to happen to show and reveal a love, a Savior, a guiding, directing Father by the Son through the Spirit. Lord, I believe it with all of my heart. Lord, let it be. Let each one of us tonight come in that place where there's no more stumbling blocks. There's only the Savior and the Spirit revealing Him in and through our lives. Oh, we ask these things, Father, in the name of Jesus, let it be. Would you come tonight and just make yourself an altar and just let the Spirit of God talk to you? He wants to show you some areas where Jesus is in your life, where the devil has been hurting, hindering, where lies, where confusion, misunderstanding has been holding you back. He just wants to drop some revelation of truth. He wants to show you the now. That He's a God of the now. He's a God of this moment in your life. And he wants you to be able to step up above every limitation and every hindrance, because he has a great plans for you and I, great plans for the body of Christ. We're not going out of here weak and wimp. We're going to go out here with a shout. We're going to go out here with such power that it's going to shake all of hell. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.